Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Not today, Bubba.
Go get him, Bubba. Love you.
Not today, Bubba.
Bubba.
Gordy. Gordy. Hey, bother you for a second.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, folks. Here on the Brownlee Dump Show. Before we get the show started, we'd like to let you know that the Brownlee Dump Show is brought to you by Manscaped. Thanks to our sponsor, Manscaped, you can trim the hedges below the belt safely and efficiently. Manscaped is the only men's brand dedicated to below-the-waist grooming. Folks, using promo code BROBIBLE, B-R-O-B-I-B-L-E, get 20% off and free shipping on your Manscaped order today. Enjoy. That is promo code BROBIBLE, B-R-O-B-I-B-L-E, 20% off. Thanks to Big Game Bob. Folks, enjoy the goddamn show.
All right, folks, coming to you live. For those of you out there who don't know if Los Angeles golf courses are open or not, look no further than the outfit I'm wearing right now, as I'm dressed up like I'm ready for the Masters. Golf courses are open in LA County, a beautiful thing. Hopefully things are starting to get back to normal here. For those of you watching on the YouTube right now, please go ahead, like, subscribe to the YouTube, support the movement. Another thing we got coming, get excited, folks, our interview on the way now with Nick Swartzen. For those of you who don't know who Nick Swartzen is, if you know Billy Madison, if you know David Spade, you most likely know Nick Swartzen because they've done everything together. Why I just labeled Adam Sandler as Billy Madison is a huge problem. I don't know why that happened, but if you know Adam Sandler, you know David Spade, you know Nick Swartzen. They're in just about everything together. He's a stand-up comedian. That's how he really got his foot in the door. A very good one. And I mean, this guy is just a character. He really is. He was a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun, you know, together. You're interviewing with him. What I like about him, he's just such a normal guy. It's not like you're interviewing a celebrity. Look at the basement setup this guy had. If you folks are watching this on the YouTube, you talk about a guy who doesn't give a fuck. Just doesn't give a flying fuck. Look at the background of Swartzen's basement. It looks like he just had a sleepover with 15 people in his basement. There is blankets everywhere. There's pillows. There's just shit everywhere as he's promoting a movie that he was fine to tell us he hadn't even watched yet. He has not even seen the movie that he was there to promote, the Wrong Missy, on Netflix with David Spade. This guy's just a character. And, you know, I mentioned to him at the end that you'll see I'm absolutely willing to have him back on the show if he wants to come on. Really was a good guest. Folks, I really think you're going to enjoy this interview. Big Game Bob, Nick Swartzen. Folks, enjoy the goddamn show. Swartzen, do me a favor. Me and my group chat had a bet. They gave me 2-1 odds that you would be wearing something Minnesota. Is that a Minnesota shirt you got on right there?
It's not.
You're killing me.
It's a picture of my dad.
I'm okay to see a picture of your dad, but I was hoping it would be something Vikings.
Yeah, that's my dad, and that's my mom.
Look at you. Quite a little family you got there, huh?
It's funny because this is what I fucking had on this morning.
You're killing me. You really are. I put $25 down. I can't believe I got 2-1 odds. It was to win $50, and you show up with the family portrait.
I know. I did have this on, though, so it should be kind of a wash, actually.
Or at least get my money back, no?
Yeah, I think you should.
Is it weird doing all these Zooms not knowing what you're going to get on the other end?
Yeah, it's fucking weird as shit, because I'm, like, really bad with technology, so I don't really know how to download shit, or I don't know how to do anything, so.
You ready to get rocking and rolling?
Yeah, totally.
All right, let's get after it here. All right, folks, here we are, the Brilliantly Dumb Show, sitting here with Nick Swartzen, comedian, actor, screenwriter, and producer. His movie, The Wrong Missy, comes out May 13th on Netflix. Nick, I got a little sneak preview at this. I love it. I think it's awesome. I really do.
Oh, you liked it? I haven't seen that.
You know what's amazing?
It's funny.
You know what's amazing with you, Nick? You know, I'm looking at all your movies here and everything that you've done. You would think with all these movies you put out that you would have a miss every now and then. You really don't miss.
Oh, thanks, man. I was pretty thick for that role. I was coming off a TV show and I'm like, oh, I'm just going to be schlubby office dude. So I'm kind of curious to see how I look. You know, but it was a fun character to play because it was just like, I have so many friends like that. It's just like the coworker from hell, fucking idiot.
You know what's amazing too? I mean, you and Spade, the chemistry is so clear. I mean, how long have you guys have been doing this?
Right.
Which really makes it good. Are you, with all the movies you've done, the whole media tour, are you tired of seeing guys like me, or do you enjoy the media process building up to a movie?
I don't mind it. I mean, I don't mind it with people that, I mean, you're cool. You know what I mean? I
appreciate that, Nick.
Yeah. I mean, people that are fucking normal, I don't mind. I mean, it's just certain press stuff is fucking annoying because they just don't know what they're talking about. So, and that's really obvious. Or they'll just go off like a fucking, you know, generic like Wikipedia shit or something, you know. I actually did press one time on a red carpet and the woman goes, so, have you ever met Adam Sandler?
Oh,
and I go, what? And she goes, have you ever met him? And I go, yeah, I've done like 10 movies with him. She's like, oh, so you've met him. And I was like,
one would say.
Like, Jesus Christ.
Let me ask you something, Nick, and I'll try and make it so you're not getting the same repetitive shit that you're used to getting. When you, with everything going on, you got your start in stand-up comedy, something that I didn't think about till I saw it. Dave Chappelle and all them raised about $100K for stand-up comedians, you know, trying to make it in the game. Is it hard for you to see what's going on and, you know, what they're going through right now?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that was one thing that concerned a lot of comics right away was the comedy clubs, the staff, and just the other comics that, you know, rely heavily on the road. I mean, I checked in with all my openers, I mean, up-and-coming comics and guys like that that, you know, count a shitload on my tours and my all my stuff, you know? So I just checked in with them immediately and donated to clubs. So, you know, people forget about that side of it. You know what I mean? If you're a fucking full-time comic, you know, I mean, comics are, I mean, I've been a comic and a part of that family for 25 years. So I'm fluent in these fucking idiots. And it's like, nobody saves money. I mean, no, everyone's like, not everyone, I shouldn't say that, but I mean, it's not, you know, they're immature for the most part. Again, not everyone, but I'm not excluding myself from this. So, you know, it's like something like this hits and it is very jarring.
You know, it's amazing too. I mean, so many people are affected that you forget all the different ways that other careers and stuff are affected. So I, you know, I see that article and it's interesting, you know, stand-up comedians too.
Yeah.
Nick, if I go back into the day, okay, and I go to St. Paul Central High, and I go to those students that were there, the St. Paul alumni, All right, you were expelled 4 times. And I say Nick Swartzen's going to grow up, be on Netflix, Netflix movie after movie. Would they get it? Is it something that people saw? Were you always the class clown?
People saw, well, different sides of me. So one thing I always was a, I was always a clown. Always. Like, even in grade school, I found one of my old yearbooks and people were like, you are the funniest person I know. I mean, this is like in sixth grade. And they're like, you're going to be a comedian, all this stuff. And then I just carried it over. I mean, I was always goofing around, but I don't think anybody would have gone like, oh, he's going to make a living at that for sure. So I was nominated, you know, when you have like the class polls, I was up for most likely to go bankrupt. That's real. I was one of the nominees for that. So
quite an honor.
They also saw like the party side of me, which was a big side.
Looks like you just threw a party in your basement just now.
Yeah, it's a little chaotic. I broke into a Crate and Barrel and I just live in the basement of it.
So let me ask you something, okay? You start stand-up comedy what, 16 years old?
I started improv comedy at 16. And then stand-up at 19.
Is it hard when you would have a bad night? Is it harder to take in the bad nights when you're that young? Does it get to you more than when you were 21 and go up there and have a rough night?
Bombing is one of the most jarring mindfuck things you can ever experience. It is fucking awful. Because, and it's a good question, because when you're young and you're developing, you know, I had a weird road where I killed right away. So my first time on stage was phenomenal. It went great. It was an open mic in Minnesota and the crowd was great. And I was super high energy and it went great. So I didn't really bomb for a long time because I was really physical and loud. So it was almost like it was almost impossible.
It was hard to bomb.
Yeah, because I would only be doing 3 or 4 minutes. So if I'm fucking running around the stage like a lunatic. So then when I got settled in and built up my act and more, and then when I bombed, it was pretty bad, man. It took me a while to get back on stage because it really shocks the shit out of you.
So would you say that it hurt you that you bombed later in your career, as to at least you could just get it out of the way if you bomb first 5 shows?
I mean, that's hard for me to say, you know, but the only thing that is great about it is that, you know, you have to bomb. So, you know, when I talk to younger comics and they're like, you know, they stress about it or they stress that it happened. I'm like, no, like you have to, it's fucking great.
Got to get it out of the way.
It's just experiencing all of it, you know, and you have to put yourself out there. You're already fucking doing it, going on stage, which is insanity. I remember this, I don't know why I thought of this, but I remember I was at an open mic in Minnesota and I was coming through town and I needed an opener. I didn't have an opener. And I was like, fuck. So I go to the open mic and I go to the owner and I'm like, hey, who's funny? Who, like, I just need someone to do like 10 minutes. And he's like, oh, this dude. So I saw this guy, he's really funny. And I came up afterwards. I'm like, hey, what are you doing tomorrow night? He's like, nothing. I'm like, will you open for me? I'll give you like a couple $100, just do like 10 minutes. He's like, yeah, fuck yeah. Where? I'm like, North Dakota. Anyway, we do a gig in North Dakota, pull up at this theater on campus, and he goes, how many people is this? And I go, I don't know, it's like 4,000. And he goes, I'm sorry, what? And I go, yeah, it's like 4,000. It'll be fun. And he's like, and I go, what? And he goes, and I go, what's the biggest crowd you've done? And he goes,
40.
Remember the open mic that you just saw me at? And I go, yeah. And he goes, yeah, that was probably it, about 30 people. I was like, dude, don't freak out. Just treat it like it's 30 people. And he's like, what? And I go, just treat it like it's 30 people. I go, if you bomb, who fucking cares? You're getting paid, we'll get drunk. And he's like, all right. So we went out and he fucking killed. And then we went out with my buddies. We just got hammered. But it was just, I don't know, a side story I thought of where it just doesn't matter if you just are yourself. It doesn't matter if it's 30 people or 4,000. If you just go and have fun. And if you bomb, you fucking bomb. Who cares?
This guy comes out and crushes it in front of 4,000.
He fucking killed. He was hilarious.
What's he like after? Is he just bouncing off the walls?
Yeah, it's fucking stuff. That's one thing that changes your life forever. When you fucking crush in front of thousands and thousands of people. So my opening acts are people throughout the years that I just thought were funny and that weren't, they weren't getting enough credit. So I would bring them on the road, guys from LA, guys from Minnesota, whoever. And, you know, they would go from these open mics to thousands of people and they would fucking kill because they were funny and they just never got the respect locally, especially Los Angeles. It's so hard to get stage time. So I would bring guys like BJ Novak, I brought on the road with me, Dan Mintz, Zach Galifianakis. I mean, it goes on for years of really funny people. Howard Kramer, I mean, tons of people. Tig Notaro.
You know what I find funny with you? Because, you know, when I think of Minnesota, I don't really I think you're the only person to have told the joke in Minnesota. I don't really think comedy clubs. Were there a lot of comedy clubs out there?
Yeah, there were. I mean, back in the 80s, there was comedy clubs everywhere. They had like 8 clubs in Minnesota. And then when I started in the 90s, they had 2. They had Acme Comedy Company and they had Knuckleheads. But I mean, you know, Mitch Hedberg is from St. Paul, Minnesota.
Sure.
And he cut his teeth at a lot of places around the country, but he worked a lot in Minnesota. He worked in Seattle, Florida, but he, you know, he did a lot of Minnesota. He was big. I mean, he's a Minnesota comic.
You know what, too?
Mile.
You mentioned Knuckleheads, and it's in the Mall of America. Isn't it hard to find the club in Mall of America? I mean, can you invite people without there being a problem of them finding it?
I mean, you know, it's isolated. It was defunct now, but it was isolated on a top floor with, you know, Minnesota's just so funny. They had like a tropical bar. I mean, they had like, you know, a Fat Tuesday bar, but it's fucking Minnesota. So it's like, hey, do you want to, you know, Fat Tuesday? It's like, yeah, it's negative 40 out. Yeah, I'll wear my Hawaiian parka.
I feel like it's
on a fucking island.
I feel like you're so fucking cold that it's hard to laugh.
No, it helps. It's great. I mean, the thing's got a fucking roof on it. It's not like outdoors in the parking lot.
Go ahead.
What? It was funny because it's a lot of tourists, so it's not the, you know, the best comedy club on the planet, but it was fine. They got big names, but it was a lot of, you know, people from North Dakota with shopping bags and people from Iowa, and, you know, it was really touristy, so it wasn't, you know, I don't know. It was fine, though.
Take me through the U.S. Comedy Arts Festival. Is it safe to say you go on stage? Probably at that time, you would say the biggest crowd you've had. You absolutely dominate. Is the adrenaline pumping?
The U.S. Comedy Arts Festival was a festival that I got with HBO after I've been doing it for like probably 6 months is when I got it.
It's amazing.
And it was a huge festival, and it's defunct now, like everything, but it wasn't big crowds. It was industry crowds. So Aspen was a small town, amazing town, but it was all networks. So, you know, it was through HBO. So it was a giant fucking deal. So they would pick all these new comics, older comics, giant names, headliners, and they would all converge into Aspen. And then it was just a shit show. It was like parties and network deals and TV deals. And I was fucking 19. I didn't know what I was doing. I remember the guy who worked at HBO was handing me cocktails under the table and shit.
So, coming at you fast at that point.
Yeah, so I didn't know what I was doing. I was, you know, I was so green, which is a term for somebody that doesn't know what the fuck they're doing. So I just wanted autographs. I was like, oh, dude, I want autographs. And then I had signed with a manager, and he was like, what? You don't want a TV deal? I'm like, I don't even know what that is.
And then
I don't have any life experience at that point.
Was it after that, though, then you ship off to New York?
Yeah.
To pursue this full-time? Was that, would you say, a ballsy move at the time, or you had already kind of got your feet wet to where you knew you had a shot at this?
No, that was a ballsy move. I mean, I got my feet wet in terms of I had done, you know, I toured a lot just around the Midwest, and I did the HBO festival, so that was a huge notch under my belt just having that. And I had a manager and stuff. So I was like, okay. And all the comics were like, don't go to LA, go to New York. So I went to New York to really kick my ass. And it did. It kicked the shit out of me. I mean, I was, couldn't have been more right off the train, like Minnesota, and walking into fucking New York.
That's a Randy Moss jersey.
Fucking New York. Fuck you. That's basically just walking. I mean, you got to remember this is the mid 90s and shit. So I was just like, all right. But it was fucking nuts, man. It opened me up to, you know, obviously a billion friends and also just comedy, just seeing so many different styles, so many different clubs. I mean, it was nuts, man. It was, I'm so glad that I made the move to New York instead of LA.
Was it in New York where you, what was your real big time I made it moment?
I mean, I don't know. There's no real, if you have an I made it moment, you're doing something wrong. You know what I mean?
That's a great answer.
You never go like, well, that's it. I made it, everybody. I'm here. You have like little moments, but nothing is, I still don't feel like I've had a, you made, I mean, I guess, you know, but I mean, I still don't feel like it's like, oh yeah, I'm trying to do something else and, you know, more like be relevant moment kind of.
But you mean to tell me like your first comedy, you know, is Comedy Central stand up. That wasn't to you.
Yeah, like, that was the first like I'm here.
Right, right.
Type of shit. You know what I mean? So that's the first Comedy Central half hour was like, hey, hi, my name's Nick. What's going on? Type of thing.
Nick, yeah.
And then it was, you know, from there it just went fucking bonkers. But, you know, that would, if there was one definitive point, that would definitely be it, the first half hour. But
were you shitting bricks? Or were you so accustomed to this by now that you were ready?
No, I was being like as kind of new as I was, it almost, I didn't overthink it. So when I was at the cutback to the HBO festival I was at, there were comics that had been doing it for 15 years, 10 years, and I was been doing it 6 months. So I had no pressure. I was just like, all right, I've seen Stowe before. Yeah. So they were like sweating, like this was live or die, like, oh my God. So when I got the Comedy Central thing, I was 22, 23 years old, whatever. And I was like, fuck yeah, let's fucking dance, dude.
Ready to rock and roll.
Yeah. So I just had a blast, and they rolled the dice giving me that because I was so young. And I remember Comedy Central was like, no, he's too young. And this guy, Chris Young, fought for me and he was like, nope, Nick Swartzen needs a fucking half hour. And he fought for me, and I got it, and it changed my life.
Oh, shit. Hang right there, folks. So sorry to interrupt. Just want to interrupt to let you know that the Brandly Dumb Show is brought to you by Manscaped. The flowers are blooming, the grass is growing, and it's time to mow your lawn. Thanks to Manscaped, you can trim the hedges below the belt safely and efficiently. They have forever changed the grooming game with their Perfect Package 3.0. Precision engineered tools for your family jewels. Cannot beat that. Cannot underestimate the importance of taking care of those things downstairs. Folks, you can get 20% off. That's 20% off using promo code BROBIBLE. BROBIBLE for 20% off and free shipping of your next Manscaped order today. Folks, enjoy the rest of the show. Enjoy your properly cleaned nutsacks. After you get that half hour, are there people, whether it's friends from Minnesota you grow up with, kind of coming out of the woodworks at that point to kind of latch on to Nick Swartzen? Does that happen when everything hits?
Ninjas came out of the shadow.
You could have one under the fucking blanket behind you right now.
Yeah, there's several. They're fucking gray and standing against the wall. I mean, nobody really, now, nothing where it was like, oh God, people are latching onto me. I mean, you know, that kind of, there's always some kind of shit like that, but nothing that stood out of like, hey, get the fuck away from me, Gary. No, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I would help people, but you can't, at the end of the day, you have to find your own path. And that's just true to life. The longer you live, it's like you can only do so much for people, but you have to find your own way. You know what right. I mean? Even when, like, working with Sandler, some people I'll read stuff where like, oh yeah, oh, Sandler's head and neck everything. It's like, no, I had to fucking work my ass off. You think Sandler like just keeps handing people shit? It's like you have to fucking work for it. Like when I first met him, I'd already done stand up, I'd already been on TV, I'd already done all this shit. And he gave me Grandma's Boy and he was like, rewrite this movie and write yourself in it and, you know, let's see how that looks. And I did, and then he was like, that's fucking great. You want to write this movie Benchwarmers? So it just like built up and I had to like always work for it. You know what I mean? It was never like, I never called him for a part, asked him for shit. He was always like, okay, Nick will be right.
So that's got to get under your skin though, with how hard you have worked and the fact that you had pretty much already made it before Sandler. Does that bother you when you hear that or you just let it go?
I really don't give a fuck.
Good for you. Good for you.
That's stuff like I've read, you know, throughout my career. Like I don't fucking care. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I mean, I have zero fucks. I could not give a shit about what people say about me, but you know, it's just a funny thing that I read where it was like, and that's a testament to Adam. You know what I mean? I'm not like just being like,
no, of course.
It, you know, like it was one of those things where, you know, he doesn't let people just stand around and wait for shit, you know? And I've never been somebody that, you know, if I needed help or something, I would ask for it. But I mean, for the most part, you know, you got to fucking bust your ass, you know?
I was going to ask you if you knew Adam Sandler personally until you told me that somebody already asked that on the red carpet.
That's such a weird question.
That's terrible. I mean, that's just terrible.
Yeah, it's a real question too. And then sometimes when the questions are dumb, I'll just kind of go with make whatever. I remember one time people would ask me how I met Adam Sandler. And I'm like, I was on fucking the radio. I won a radio contest. And they're like, and I'm like, yeah, I fucking
called the 50th caller.
Yeah, I called in and they picked me and that was it.
Take me through, you know, we talked, I made it moments. When you get that call, take me through. Whether it was meet him, Adam Sandler, or do you get a phone call from him? What's that? What's going through your head?
It's like a bat signal in Hollywood. And it's just a guy like this. And it just beams in the air. And I'm like, oh,
Adam. Adam.
Go to the signal. Go.
It's a phenomenal Sandler.
Yeah, he enjoys it and then also gets annoyed because he'll be in his office writing and I'll walk past the door. I would always do this. So he's writing and then I would do this. I would go. And he'd be like, all right, fucking. He's like, fuck you.
I didn't know you had the Sandler impression in your back pocket, though.
Yeah, dog.
I really didn't know that you had that in there.
I also have a bomb-ass hockey haircut that I cut myself.
Yeah, that's fresh lettuce right there. That really is. Show me that tattoo. You got to show me that tattoo one more time.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's game changer. That's awesome.
Do you call?
My manager called me and he goes, hey, Adam Sandler wants to meet you. And I was like, what? And he was like, yeah, he's a fan of your stand up. He saw you on TV. So I was like, all right, it's fucking crazy. So I went and sat down with him, shot the shit. And Grandma's Boy was the first thing.
But when you go to sit down with him, you shitting bricks on the way over there to go meet Adam Sandler?
I mean, I was pretty numb to it. It just was so bizarre. You know what I mean? You know when something is, I don't know if you've ever had that, but where something's just so insane that your brain can't even really process it. I was just kind of like, what?
Kind of like this interview right now for me.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Tip of the cap, Swartzen. Absolutely. Give you some love there.
Yeah. But it's just so bizarre. So I just went and I just kind of was like, and went in and sat down with him. And he's such a normal guy. And I'm like a normal dude. So that's one reason why we hit it off so well is that I've never had an ego. I'm not a fucking dick, you know, and he's not either. So we were just kind of like, Yeah, and you know, he'd be like, "What was New York like?" And because I started one of the clubs he started at, so I was like, "Oh yeah." I go, "I started the comic strip and like Lucian Hold and everything." He's like, "Oh yeah, yeah, yeah." So it was just all, and you know, a lot of it was sports and stuff like that. And, it was fine, just like a normal dude. And but then, I mean, it took a while. It wasn't until I got his phone number then that it was like weird.
That's when it hits.
Yeah, when he's like, "Oh yeah, here, take my cell." You know, I'm like, "Oh, all right." Then I'm like, "Oh, yeah, that's fucking all right."
And then he gives you the nod, the green light. Well, grandma's boy. Okay. What's the transition? Are you worried about the transition from stand up now to now you're in a movie working with Adam Sandler? Is that a tough transition?
No.
Not at all. Come on. Are you serious?
No, because I had acted before. I'd already done movies. I'd already done shit. So it wasn't like, this is what I wanted. So I was like, all right, let's fucking go, dude. I was stoked. I mean, there was a little pressure, but there's pressure on all of us involved. So it was like the lead, Alan Covert, is one of his best friends, ton of pressure on him. The director, Nick Goosen, he was 26 years old, ton of pressure on him. So it wasn't like, you know, pressure was when I did Bucky Larson, and that was a movie Adam and I pretty much wrote together. And with Covert, and that
McBride's in that too, right?
No, Bucky Larson, 30 minutes or less is what I did with McBride.
Okay,
but Bucky Larson, that was fucking pressure because that was me on the poster, Nick Swartzen, this character nobody fucking knew who it was. I didn't even know who it was, I had to find him, and so it was just like, okay, this was all on me. So that was pressure, dude. Grandma's Boy was just a blast. It was like, there was no expectation, it was low budget. And it was fucking weird.
So then the shit's officially popped off for you. Is it, I mean,
the movie tanked. But it cost $5 million and it made like $6 million. But then it exploded on DVD and shit. But
so I guess I could take back my first...
It wasn't like fucking Avatar where all of a sudden, you know what I mean?
So I guess you do miss then. I guess Nick Swartzen does miss. I got to retract that statement.
Well... I thought you were referring to my performances.
Like there we go. Acting. There we go. Well, movies-wise, though, too, if you look at your resume, there's not a whole lot that misses, Nick.
Well, I've never done anything where I'm like, you know, I don't think is funny or has potential, especially, you know, with my character. I'm like, oh, I don't just do shit just to do shit, you know?
Right.
What's like, I don't want to be like a shitty sitcom. I'm not like a money dude where I'm like, yeah, I just will jump on this shitty show for fucking 8 years. If people knew all the stuff I've created that didn't get made, it would blow your mind. I'll release those scripts someday, figure out how to do that. But I've developed so many weird shows that have gone nowhere. Even though I could have made way more money doing something else, I was just like, no. I'm doing this fucking show, and then I would develop it for a year.
You know what's funny about that? We had Kevin Connolly on the show, and he said,
"I know Kevin. Yeah.
He's a great guy," and he said the same thing. He just, there's so much shit that even that he's been in that people don't really know, like Rocky. You know, yeah. And like people forget about that.
Oh, Kevin knows for sure. I've known Kevin probably, I mean, almost 20 years.
Get out.
Yeah.
From LA?
Yeah. He was somebody that I would see at auditions all the time for fucking years. It's funny when you first moved to Hollywood, especially back then before like reality TV and shit, where it was constant auditions, movies, TV, you know, it was all scripted shit. So it was nuts. You would see the same people all the time at auditions.
Right.
Like, hey, what's up, man? Because we're all in the same group, you know?
What time around was this when you would run into him?
This would probably be the early, mid-2000s.
Gotcha.
And, yeah. And so I would play basketball with him, too. And then it's even funnier when you grow up with people and you see, you know, then people get famous and they take off in their own way. And it's hilarious.
Were you posting him up?
I fucking know a billion people like that. I mean, it's crazy.
You probably didn't see this one coming, but something that I've always wondered, I wanted to save this one for you. As many benefits as there are to being famous, a celebrity, what would Nick Swartzen say is the worst
part of it? What bothers you the most? Is it you in the middle of a meal, somebody comes up to you? What's the worst part about it that you could do without?
I would say...
I'm excited for this. You got no idea.
If I'm taking a shower, people will break in and throw a Molotov cocktail at me.
Come on.
It's so annoying. I'm sitting there trying to clean myself. All of a sudden, swarming! And it's just and fucking flames. But I'm in the shower, so it gets put out. It's just fucking annoying. So annoying. What a broken record.
I think Connolly and Sandler would say the same thing, though.
Yeah.
All right, so Swarson, while we get ready to close down here, another thing, what would you say, when it's all said and done, because eventually, I don't know if you know yet, but eventually you're going to die. And yeah. When that day comes, what are the three movies you want to be remembered for?
That's a great question. No one's ever asked me that. I mean that sincerely. Do you really? The three I'd want to be remembered for, oh, God, that's really fucking tough.
I just got you. I just hit deep, no?
Yeah, that's tricky. I would say probably, I would have to say.
Grandma's Boy?
I would have to say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to exempt Grandma's Boy because it's just kind of an obvious go-to, you know?
Agreed.
It's almost, you know. So outside of that, I would say probably Bucky Larson.
Interesting.
30 Minutes or Less.
Beauty.
And Just Go With It.
Look at you. I like that you put Grandma's Boy out of there because it's kind of like you have to put that in. So we're really then would only be focusing on the last two.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would say those three because they're all totally different,
right?
You know? and they're all I don't know, they're three of my favorites.
I'm gonna give you a hot transition here. Is Kirk Cousins a top 15 quarterback? Please don't say yes.
Top 15.
I'm not going to say top 10. If you're going to sit here right now.
No, top 15. Yes, I would.
Okay.
Top 10. I don't think I would say top 10. Top 15. I would say that.
So you would give him about to 11 to 15 mark right there.
Yeah.
I respect that. Because if you came here and said top 5 or top 10, it's like, come on, Swartzen.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not like completely delusional, you know. This season all sucks. Yeah, really? I can't even fucking get excited about this season. It's just fucking so lame. I get so many Vikings questions. I'm just like, I don't even know. I'm on the phone all day, like talking to comics about the state of comedy and talking to any of my friends who are athletes about the state of baseball and football. And it's fucking psycho. And like my friends were in the league playing the NFL. I'm like, what is the deal? And they're like, everyone just basically says there's going to be a season with no fans. I think it's the general consensus.
You know where I think that really stings too? What really gets me? NFL, I think we can all agree, is superior. But when it comes to fans, college football without fans is a problem.
Yeah, that's insane. But I feel like they haven't said that they were going to pull fans from college. College is its own beast, you know. I don't know how that's going to play out.
I feel like just at the same time, though, you're dealing with a younger fan base in some ways that it's hard to – I feel like it's easier to put fans in an NFL stadium than college.
Yeah.
You know?
I would say – I don't know. They should just have the drunkest people be allowed in. It should be the opposite. It should be the opposite of a breathalyzer where it's like, you've got to be over to this. Point 0.08? No. Let's go.
You're good to go.
A fucking hot mess. That would be me every fucking football game I've ever gone to.
You'd be in every single game. You'd be in every stadium.
Yeah, I'm either not drinking at all or I'm just sort of ham town shit faced.
Blackout.
Yeah, I don't remember two games I went to last year at all. Don't remember the game at all. Yeah, 43. Good job, Nick.
Well, folks, again, The Wrong Missy comes out May 13th on Netflix. What's next for Nick Swartzen? Do you just kind of breathe a little? Do you?
I'm gonna
let
kind
it marinate.
What I'm gonna do now is, probably tape a special this summer and then just drop it on my website.
Good for you.
You can't have big crowds. And then I was supposed to shoot a TV show I created in April, and I'm gonna just write more on that and try to develop that one. I was gonna shoot it on my own. It was me and Ron White and Theo Vaughn, the show I created about a family of ghost hunters. And so I'm gonna develop that.
Will you come back on when that time comes and shoot the shit with me a little bit some more?
Yeah, of course I will.
Can I get up from you before we close out here? This is Nick Swartzen. You're listening to The Brilliantly Dumb Show. I want to put you in the intro.
Can you say it? My name is Swartzen.
Swartzen or Swartzen?
Swartzen.
Let it rip. I'm Nick Swartzen.
Yeah,
you're listening to The Brilliantly Dumb Show.
I'm Nick Swartzen, and you're listening to The Brilliantly Dumb Show.
Swartzen, you're an absolute electric factory. You really are.
Thanks, man.
It was a pleasure. Hey, best of luck to you, all right?
Yeah, you too. Stay healthy, man. Let's hope for football.
Always. Thank you so much for your time. You take care, buddy.
Okay, brother. Cheers.
Not today, Bubba.
Go get him, Bubba. Love you.
Not today, Bubba. Gordy. Gordy, can I bother you for a second?
Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.